Well, we're back to the Nostra Thomas show. I missed a couple weeks and I did one. We're doing them on location now. I could be anywhere, Florida, the beach. Didn't work so good. I didn't have really good equipment, but softened it up last week with Pastor Joe. And then that's not going to happen this week. Back Sorry to report. We were in heaven last week. We're back to hell. Because a lot's been going on, but let's talk about music first, because I did bill you as a local music legend, if you didn't see that.
I don't know if I go that far.
Oh, I went that far.
I don't know if
you've been involved in everything I've ever done since 1986.
Yeah, 86. That's exactly the date.
Including
too.
The band, including your bands, including my shows. Think about all that.
Burn off.
All together, the same.
Everything.
We went out together before that.
35 years.
Yeah. In the right? Damons.
35.
And here's how the check went. VIP for me. That's where I started. The game started at VIP. And as you're going a little bit and things aren't looking too good, you kind of moved on down to Damons for a little bit.
Damons down.
Then they go. Tin Pan there when you went over. That was like later.
Woody's.
But you had, and then Yukon Jack's there for a while. Remember that?
Yep.
And then the last, maybe a bicycle club or something like that, that you may have heard somebody
that
was
used
there.
Used to be Smugglers. Yeah. Smugglers Inns.
But think about, there was seven places, and not even counting Belmont with Trade Winds and Boatyard, where it was wall-to-wall young people.
Every weekend.
Every single weekend. And then
Friday and Saturday nights.
And then you had Thursdays, Woody's ladies night thing, and you always had something else. Wednesdays.
You had, I think Wednesdays might have been Woody's.
And yeah, Bonnie and Clyde's was doing that mug night thing or whatever on Wednesdays.
And Gems.
Yeah. And now you can't find a single, I'm serious. When we have people in town or, you know, from the mall or even from some of the acts, hey, what's happening around here? We got the flea market and go to my house.
We have a trade show going on.
Gary's house in his garage. Yeah. Working on a car.
Work on a car.
That's about it. So it's really just crazy.
BYOB.
It's just, and those were the heydays of the shows, like the Rib Fest and that. Everybody came. Everybody
Even
beer.
Afterwards, everybody went out.
Exactly.
We're burn off be over. People expand all the different places.
It just went.
Yeah.
And then
it's really,
can't do it.
Really got depressing. Especially with the music scene.
And now they're having a lot of shows right now. And you've been to a couple.
Yeah.
Look, I've been to where their crowds were really, really low. They had. I won't get into it because that's somebody's show and I don't wish anybody.
Right. No, no.
But it's a struggle because people don't, unless our age bracket and maybe a little younger, older, really knew the acts. And there was like 15 songs you knew of what they sang.
Right.
The youth, they have, you know, somebody has Flash in a Pan has a couple songs. Miley Cyrus has a, you know, here and there, and that's it. They don't have.
I was just talking about this.
They don't have it anymore. They don't make.
Last week, we started out in a basement. We get together after school, after work, and we go down and we learn songs. We rehearse, practice, and you were amped up to get that first show, to get out live in front of the general public. Kids don't do that today. Very
they
suddenly,
don't have to.
You'll hear, oh, well, I got rehearsal. These kids get off school. They don't, I don't know why. I don't know if the gaming thing took over or.
Well, they can do everything from a
phone,
some electronics gear. I mean, everything is done. Like I can actually, since I've been doing this, I start looking at equipment. I can make myself look like I'm sitting on the whole volcano.
Right.
In the background. It's and it's not a big deal.
Well, you can put your 8-track. Digital recorder in your basement and do the whole band. You could do the drums.
Yeah.
You could do guitar.
And that's why you don't even know what is actually an instrument. What
it's just sad because I remember back in the day, back in the 80s, you know, we're rehearsing. I'd be like, hey, well, you guys going over here? Oh, I can't. Got rehearsal. My friend Nick, all them guys, they down in the basement and they rehearsed. I used to go over and watch them just because I wouldn't, you know.
And it wasn't anything really light, because when I joined the church band, I thought that was going to be, but it wasn't. Larry Placer, I mean, that was like, I had to be, you know, a few jokes and then
drill sergeant.
Boom, we got to get going. Sharp, you're too loud. Boom, boom, boom. Ain't I the only one here? You know, that's not funny right now.
Right.
Yeah, we were just joking earlier. Apparently, we're not joking anymore.
Yeah, I kind of, I was kind of like that too. I was like,
no, I remember that.
I'd rather,
no, Gary, I got to give it to you because I didn't take it as serious. I was kind of like,
well, music is in my,
no, I love music, but I just thought the makeup of the band wasn't serious. Like, to me, we didn't have the all the right players at that point. So I thought, I don't even know if we want to go out like this.
But it was new.
Right.
It was new guys.
So I'm like,
we didn't know how to chemistry.
Thinking I was David Lee Roth, like, yeah, come on, man. Well, and I wasn't even practicing enough to make it better.
Figure how long it lasted with that lineup.
Yeah, it didn't last that long.
No.
But it kind of, but it was really fun. I remember because I play the drums, play a little piano. But I remember thinking, wow, this is really cool that we putting all this together like that. Because, you know, everything's starting to fit in and you're hearing, if you know music, you're hearing the bass in the background, you're catching, you know, this and what somebody's doing on the side.
It's just even like, you know, my band Northern Whiskey's, you know, we just recently got a new lead singer and a keyboard player who are phenomenal, but they're hard to come by. Like, you can look around you're blue in the face, but keyboard players and singers are very hard to come by, depending on what you're looking for. You know, we don't do a lot of country. We do a lot of like Doobie Brothers and some Southern stuff. So you got to have somebody who can sing versatile, you know, that can hit this note or hit those notes, and keyboard players that can. And it's tough, but, you know, we lucked out once again and we got the right guy. So our chemistry is good.
You know, what's funny, Gary, is I always had this little bit of like fear, like I like baseball, I'd be the best. I always had this like, what if I don't do really well in front of all these people?
And you fail.
And it kept, so every time I get up on stage, which I like to do for a couple of songs, man, you really blew it, dude. You should have. I'm gonna have to answer for that one day.
Right.
That I really didn't put what God gave me ability, didn't put enough into it to do it right. So I'm gonna have to stand there at the gate, and he's gonna go, "Hey,
well, you're gonna be your worst critic." First of all,
just had a little fear. Like,
when you have a whole band, and you're playing your songs, and people are getting into it and dancing and enjoying themselves, but then you're playing that one song, and you're like, "Eh, let's go sit down," or want to go somewhere else, or and you just start seeing it clear out. That you might as well just tell me that wasn't good, guys.
Yeah.
That wasn't good. I gotta go.
Everybody's going up to the bar,
and it's happened. It's happened all the years I've been playing.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah,
even the best, Gary. Some of the biggest acts, when they start playing songs, they just may or something. I go, you know what? I gotta get back in the backstage, make sure the chicken parm's done. I mean, you just don't.
I gotta grab a beer.
That isn't what you want to hear. Right, you want to hear their big stuff. Yes. You don't want to hear that tune that nobody heard.
It's true. It is definitely true. It happens.
That's why it's so hard to get an act from past 90 something. There's not enough songs to have a show. Yeah. You're going to charge somebody 50, 60 bucks and you got three hits. What are you going to do with the rest of the time?
I couldn't even tell you what the hit songs are on the rock chart today.
There's a couple and they'll be gone tomorrow. Next week, there'll be a flash in the pan.
Like one hit.
There's only like Taylor Swift and only a couple of them that actually keep making.
I don't even know who that is.
Katy Perry and that.
I mean, I heard their name.
But I'm just saying, everybody else is just, wow, remember Lord? That was like a big group like 6 years ago. It made anything sense. They had a couple hits. That's it. What are you going to do? You're going to hire them to do two songs?
If you remember, it was like that back in the 80s. You had
like
Tears for Fears. They had like two or
but
three.
No, they had like, actually, when they got their greatest, they had a lot of really, they were really talented, but they had so much of that cheesy techno crap that it kind of made the whole era bad. But remember now.
Okay, Kaja Gugu.
Kaja Gugu, which is the song.
Hush,
Ange and I were in Jim Woodyard's car, and we talk about that every time because when you go, come a little closer, I go, come a little closer. I was like 19 years old. So that's kind of like our little.
But they had like fun one song. Major hit.
But they also, but still 80s, all the arena bands, So you can always go back to the rock bands took over when that stuff went haywire, because the 70s were songwriter years. Yeah. Those are all Brad, guitar, all those songs that were. And but then the 80s, all that stuff started getting up. Like, what was that one song?
80s were more.
How about M? What was that? That song by M. Oh, gosh. Oh, but they just like, but one hit wonder. Geez, I'd like that one hit. Every time it comes on, everyone knows what it is.
I took a half a hit, bro. At this day and age.
But still, the 80s had Van Halen, kind of Poison and all that music came up. All that stuff came up.
But that's what we grew up on. Yeah. Like, I work with some younger guys, and I'd mention, they're like, who's this? And I'd say, oh, this is Poison. Brett Michaels. We did a show with him at the Hot Rod Super.
They didn't probably know who that
is. They're like, who is it? And they're 22, 23. Had no clue who it was, you know, just like, well,
yeah, my son Tommy wouldn't know who that was.
My mom and dad, they listened to like a lot of Motown when I was younger. I'm like, who is this? They'd say, and I'd be like, I don't know who it is.
But I remember being 12, 13 years old. I was digging back into some of the old stuff because I would tell my dad about an Elvis song I heard or stylistics.
That's
or
how
something.
I became liking the Motown was because of my parents.
Yeah.
They had a record player under the stairs with 33 records. And I used to put Diana Ross and the Supremes on.
That's
Temptations.
Right. My mom played music from the time we got up. That record player would be going downstairs. Carole King, all this stuff. So I listened to all that. And Christmas time just rolled right into Nat King Cole.
Damn it, those were the good days.
They just don't have anything. Everything is cheesy. They are having a show, Coolio and... what's his name?
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice. I
when is that? Is that
it's soon? November. It's a day after Thanksgiving.
Watch him go out and help him work.
But now that we've gotten all this, now let's talk about what's going on today. Because I'm telling you, I had last week, I was trying to stay away from it, but this is just beyond what's going on right now. Because I know they had the 9/11 tributes. And all that stuff going on. And I was sitting there going, all these corny, we don't forget. We forgot. Because what's going on right here and now, but why everybody's staring at their phone and not paying attention, is 10 times worse than 9/11.
Yeah.
And let's just ask ourselves, Gary, when you see all these Haitians at the border, I'm thinking, how did all these people get there? They hitchhiked? Walked? What'd they do?
I think they're bringing them in. On purpose.
It's obvious, but why aren't we seeing that this doesn't even matter? Then they're lying, saying that they vet these people and they make sure they don't have diseases. They're not doing one thing.
Not
these
one
people.
Thing they're doing.
How about the question? Did you see
no
the
vaccines?
One,
no
one
nothing.
Reporter actually asked a tough question. Hey, President Biden, have you ever been to the southern border? Have you ever? Okay, we're done. Thank you. And he's dragging weakened Bernie's off the stage. Because they don't want him to even answer questions.
Neither one of them been down there.
He's never been there, not once.
She has not been there. They don't know what it's like. The media is putting up these pictures of the Border Patrol on horses, saying they're whipping them with the reins on the horse.
It's just nothing but propaganda. Yeah. We're living in that.
I think the media is our worst enemy.
And what people are so pampered and pansy that they just take what they hear. And don't even look at common sense. I mean, let's look at this vaccine that we keep calling a vaccine. And it's every 5 seconds I got to hear about it. I got kicked off Facebook for simply saying the truth. My friend got a shot and we could stick metal to it. I didn't say anything else. It's boom, I'm off for 30 days. Now, what kind of a country have we become where you can't even have a natural debate? Because the last time I checked, Gary, what is a vaccine? Anyway. Not this.
From what I was told, a vaccine is supposed to prevent altogether.
Uh-huh. Eradicate.
Basically, what I believe, this is my own opinion, it's a flu shot.
Because it.
I used to get the flu shot. I stopped about 4 or 5 years ago.
They didn't say you'll never get the flu.
Certain strand of flu every year. They give you a shot, hoping they got the right one. But I've gotten sick before. Not as bad, but I've gotten sick.
The 1 year I took it, I got the worst flu I ever got. So I never took it again.
Yeah, and I used to get it all the time because I used to get it when I worked for General Motors. You know, they give it to you free. I used to get it just because when I get real sick, I'm a baby fan. So I curl up in a fetal position.
Why don't I just die and get it over with? Why doesn't anybody care, by the way? The
family? I know. But that's
here's the thing.
It's not a vaccine.
What they're giving people, they change the ingredients all the time. That's why the FDA hasn't approved all, because they keep adding stuff. They keep adding, because this Wuhan flu is gone now. So now what everybody was taking is worthless. That's why everybody's getting COVID again. Because
they even get it with.
Now they get the narrative that changed. You have to get the shot. You're saving lives. Now it's
a booster.
Yeah, get just the shot. Now you have to get booster shots and everything. This has become the biggest joke I've ever seen.
I think from the beginning,
I didn't believe it from the start.
Exactly. When they started, you could win money, a happy meal, an extra milkshake from McDonald's if you could get the shot. And da 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 da. This guy in Ohio won $1 million in a drawing
out of taxpayers' money,
out of our money.
They're giving away shotguns and beer too at the.
Yeah, it's somebody that's forcing something that this bad is on somebody.
Classic example, like we were laughing on the phone. I don't remember being for anything forced on me except when my mom chased me down to give me SOS tonic that was ever good for you.
Right.
Here comes the nighttime SS tonic. Oh no, that was forced on me, but that was for my good. Anything else, whether it's, hey, buy this now or you're not getting it now, or timeshare, whatever.
It's not good.
As they start pushing a car on you, you start running the other direction. Now, what is happening here is that, why can't we just have all the facts? Here's all we got, because they don't even talk about regular immunity. That's not even brought up. You're not even going to talk about that.
And that's the safest.
That's the best. It's 50 times better than
any of that.
So they don't want you talking about that, but they want you to go give a kid who has no chance of having a serious bout with COVID. And the older you get, the more you carry it. So that bull crap that the kid's going to carry it home is another BS, because everybody's fighting not to put the mask on the kids. But you can have the Emmys and Obama's party where nobody has a mask, but all have to wear one.
They just had a picture of all the celebrities in Hollywood, no mask, dressed up, carrying on. Underneath that picture of children wearing these masks, arms length apart in school. It's unbelievable. I mean, I get into it with some people. I got into it with a lady in Australia. I'm surprised I didn't get slammed in Facebook jail.
It's an international.
And I pretty much just told her, listen, you need to worry about, they already took your guns. Yeah, well, you need to worry about your own. We have a constitution.
You'll be the first one on the bus.
Yeah. So, and I think a lot of it's misinformation too from the media.
It is. And I really believe, like I said to you earlier, if they can get these kids young, following orders and being scared, and oh no, the boogeyman now is in the form of this, what's in the air that I might get. They can follow their lead from a young age, and they don't have to break people down like me and you. You know, I tell people, I'm at airport in Florida, gear, I'm not kidding you. It was 100 degrees on that plane. There was something wrong with the air conditioning. I go, man, it's really hot in here. I got this thing on. I had it down 2 inch. Don't worry that I'm dying of heat exhaustion. Don't worry that I'm falling out of the plane. Got one leg left. Sir, make sure you pull that up over your nose. And I go, really? That's your big concern? Yes, it is. Like some kind of pick a fight with me. So every time. Now, I'm not Gary. This is the God's honest truth. This was, you have the seatbelt thing. Everybody still don't understand why that's so hard for. Why do I have to be shown that? Okay. As hard as that. What, every time I watch closely, I put the one thing into the other. That's so weird. That's like the Jetsons. So the guy actually says, because you've heard it forever, then I always make a joke. There's no smoking on here. When's the last time anybody smoked on an airplane?
Yeah.
Okay. They had to bring that up. I go, oh my gosh, there's no smoking on it. Okay. And then, where the oxygen, in case of an issue,
drops down.
Be sure to move your mask that you're wearing out of the way to put that on you. I go just like this. Yeah, that's going to be my first concern. That mask. Yeah. As we're wing rolling down the thing. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, we might go. We're heading for the water. Make sure you get your mask up. I mean, it's really the center of everything at the airport. It's everything.
And there's no scientific proof it even works.
And there you go. There was a Dr. Paul, I forget his last name, Canada. He called up the new Rush Limbaugh channel.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm a pandemic. He's like the top of his field in Canada. I'm just, he goes, there's not one mandate that has worked. In fact, they've been worse where they've had the actual mask and all these things. It's been worse. So they keep coming up. He goes, not, they've all failed miserably. And we just keep talking about it. There's no science, not even close to a scientific fact that any of this worked.
They said the masks are only good for like bacteria. But as far as a virus, what they're calling a virus, it's so small. It goes right in between
the particles. It's useless.
It's useless.
It keeps your mouth shut.
And what it does is you exhaust bad bacteria out of your body. Yeah. You're just breathing it right back
in. And think about that. For those people, God, that 8 hours a day or whatever have to wear that. How are we allowing? This is really sad because people are like, what's the difference if you wear a mask? Because you're making this so easy for the next one. And it's coming. And I think it's going to be this stupid global war. I'm telling you, they're going to make some big. Because here's what I do. I see a guy younger than a certain age. Not older people. You know, maybe they just feel like they have to wear. Okay, whatever. Put a skirt on with that while you're at it.
Right.
Dumb ass. I mean, I just say it right to them.
Well, I like when you go out to eat. My wife and I go out to eat, and it's like, oh, you have to have a mask on. I go, why? Ask my wife, why? She goes, well, you got to have a mask on. So I put my mask on, and it messes up my beard, and I get upset about that.
That's all. You
then we go sit down in our seat, and we can take it off. Like, the virus is going to go.
And it won't go any further. They're eating.
You can't go there right now. They're eating.
And as soon as they're done eating.
Yeah, it's like, just like that show I went to. There's 4,500 people in this place, 5,000 maybe. And the road crew.
Oh, there's that many people in there. Wow.
Road crew, security, down in front of the stage, all have masks on. But everybody else in there doesn't.
That's the stupidest thing.
It doesn't make
I go into the store, everybody's got no mask. But in some weird form, getting a haircut or some kind of nail salon, you've got to wear these masks with five people in the place.
The girl I went to, I told her, I said, do I really have some? She goes, no, you can take it down.
They made me wear mine.
I'll do one side so they could do the side.
And she, oh, I can't take it. People with breathing issues, I don't even know how they do it, because I'm going to tell you.
There's, like you said, nothing from the beginning has been right. Nothing. No.
And if anybody thinks, like when somebody starts that, oh, your conspiracy theory, look, if you buy this, I'll take any JFK conspiracy. If you're buying all this happened in the year Trump was a re-election and all this happened out of the coincidences, really, and we just dropped off. Hey, you know what? Oh, dang, I left all those helicopters and ammunition for the Taliban. Yeah,
we'll get them
dang
next
it.
Time. We'll get them next
time. Where's our checklist? Who let that go? That was done on purpose.
That was done on purpose.
And if you think it wasn't, military people are, do you think they just stupid?
The excuse I heard after that about that equipment was it was older than 20 years, so it wasn't the more advanced stuff.
Oh,
but it was still
manure. They're using it.
$85 million worth of equipment.
Well, it was easier to disable it. Now, how come you didn't say that when it first happened? Oh, we left. Oh, dang
it. Usually, they destroy it.
Right.
The military themselves, if they have to leave something behind, they destroy
it. They left it all sit there. Oh, by the way, left the Americans there too.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, dang it. We left the wrong people there.
We'll get them next time.
Hope you get to an airport. And that's exactly what they were doing. Well, there's an airport down there, isn't there? Like, you're on your own, pal.
It is. I'm telling you. I get so mad not to talk.
But it's just, we're, and look, Gear, I can't. You know,
there's, that's somebody's child over there. Their son or daughter.
They don't care about any of that.
No, the first one was, well, no, they didn't want to go. They wanted to stay. The place is,
yeah, that was the first
by the Taliban, and you want to stay
with our enemy that all of a sudden isn't the enemy.
Yeah, they're our friends,
but they're better than they were before.
Yeah, it's
and we were laughing because nobody's paying attention, or they just, everybody's become so. I'm on the beach, there's 100 people, beautiful day, sand, ocean, ships going by. families, 4 or 5 people. I'm standing there. Not one of the people, not one wasn't staring at their phone. Not one person. I was going to try to take it, but it was such a big group. I couldn't get them all into the thing. Nobody was paying attention to their brother, sister, ma, dad, the ocean, nothing.
Yeah, that's why you're there. You know,
it's
a shame. That's where all the misinformation comes from. They're too busy texting.
But you know what? I heard this and I believe this with all my heart. Think of 20 years between when you were, let's just go 65 to 85, 1965 to 1985. How many different huge cultural changes were in those 20 years? Yeah, the 60s thing. Then you go in the 70s, bell bottom, all the different hairstyles. Then the 80s went crazy, Madonna,
rock and roll, Valley Girl.
If you see a golf or a tennis match from 2001 and you see one from today, there's no change.
Yeah, it looks the same.
Because this has taken over. Everybody doesn't care about a new different their haircut. My kids don't care about their clothes anymore. It's no big, used to have this, that, right. Nobody cares about that. This is all anybody cares about.
No, even those so are $1,000 a pot.
20 years, maybe a different type of haircut. The ties change because they want to sell more. But that's about it.
Stacey Adams, Giorgio Bottini changed.
It's just, but there's no big deal. Like you look in the crowd, boy, that must have been the 70s. Or you turn on Johnny Carson, his ties this big. Right, right.
His lapels.
Yeah, but now you can go from 2003, 4, 5. I mean, when we were doing shows, not that different.
No,
music was still kind of the same. You know, you had Nelly going then, and you had then music took huge leaps and bounds from the 60s to the 80s.
Yeah.
And now
the fashion did take, because then we went through a time in the early 90s where it was all just ripped up jeans and flannel shirts because of that grunge era.
And then as soon as we got to 2000 and where this went everybody's hand, that all went.
All hell broke loose.
Nobody cared about anything else but the new phone coming out. Or it was the flip. Remember then there was the razor. That was a big deal.
Yep.
Dominic still had that like in 2014. Still
had I had razor. A flip phone. I actually
but
had
the
a...
razor thing was like the coolest thing in the world. Remember that?
Yep.
Wow, guy's got a razor.
It's got money.
Yeah. Woo. How much was that?
My old boss had a bag phone.
Bro, I remember having that. I had
plug it in your.
You need
cigarette
two guys to carry it around. It's like a film
it's like
crew.
You're carrying an oxygen container. Oh my
God. I remember those.
You'd pick it up. It's like picking this keyboard up. What's up?
Well the inside had that big metal bar in it.
Yep.
It's like, wait a ton.
Yep.
Then you had
I remember him saying, get in my car and grab my phone because I worked for him. The old tough coat years back in the 80s. He would get in my car and get my phone. I'd walk out. Where is it? He's like, it's in that bag right there. And I'd pick that thing up. I'm like, Jesus.
Remember the big one like on Wall Street where he's walking out? No wonder why people had those brain issues there for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, those were bad.
They were getting something frequency and then through your head.
I got a car phone. I had in my Oldsmobile. Don't use it. Costs a fortune. You just look at it's the antenna out in the back, driver. Yeah, it's a car phone. Nobody's using it.
Had your little mount on the
hump. Yeah. You made one call. It's like, I remember somebody made a 411 call on it. Who in the heck dialed information from this car phone?
Information.
Yeah. I was going to kill somebody. It was like
your phone to call time to temp.
$5 call. Hey, our car's burning up. Is it that bad?
Remember when I used the phone. You used to rotary phones at home. You dial 0.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'd like to make a long distance phone call. Or you could break into a call. We had a party line.
Yeah, I remember
I'd pick
that.
Up my phone. I'd hear the neighbors talking. I'd be like, "Oops, sorry." And we had to wait till they're done.
Or we had a private line. Wasn't in the phone book. I remember that being like a big deal. It's come. We can't find your phone. Your phone number. You can? Like, I don't know. Our number was never in the phone book.
Private
number.
Times have changed.
I can go into a story for that one too.
Changed.
But you had one or two phones.
You didn't have an area code either.
And no. That's right. Dang, I forgot that.
You didn't have to dial
330.
Dial your number.
And I would get a call and everyone knew who it was. That's why when parents go, I know what my kid's doing. No, you don't. There's no way. I get a call. Uh-oh. Somebody has a phone. It's like, oh, it's Jimmy Gray. That's not a good call for me to get. What's he doing? Call? You know, I mean, you didn't get away with any, you know, people that shouldn't be calling you calls. Right. You didn't get away with any of those.
No.
That's not, you're getting a text message from the wrong guy. Nobody saw. You're getting a call. Hey, who's this?
I used to get it with my pager. Beep, 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 look on the counter. Who's 856-2190? Yeah.
I'm like, and why does it say 911 after it?
Little codes. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was
funny.
That was when you're, hey, dang it. I put your number 911. I expect a call like, ah.
Yeah, that's
we're like getting ready to go out, folks. Let's go.
An emergency.
That's a huge emergency. But yeah, I used to always ride I always rode the finger back. Some people just die. I rode it back.
On a rotary.
Yep. For some reason, I wanted to get my money's worth out of that ride. I'm going down and back.
Well, before push button, payphones were rotary too.
I tell you what, though, I've been watching. Didn't even have any good late night stuff, but I've made my poor wife. I cannot stop laughing watching those Farley when he comes on and he's Matt Foley. I mean, the craziness where he's falling through I'm doing this crazy, or like, what do you want to do with your life? I want to be a writer. Well, la-dee-da. You know, there's nobody like that.
John Belushi. Yeah,
John Belushi, what this Farley was, where everybody would sit there and just start laughing. Adam Sandler could not get through a skit without laughing.
He was high.
Because he would do all this stuff and scream in his face, you're a party. You know, nobody knows he's going to say that. And so everybody just sits there and starts laughing.
They got memes out that was Chris Farley on it.
But it's raining. Stop raining. For the love of God, stop raining. Yeah. But I mean, I just got into seeing it. Watching.
Do they have even comedy places around town anymore? They used to.
They used to have it. They used to bring. I remember I saw Paul Reiser. I saw Jay Leno. And
we went to a couple a long time ago, and they were pretty fun. They were entertaining.
I remember when Jay Leno goes, who here has been to Ireland, he said, or something. And he's like, where'd you go? I'm going to Ireland. He goes, how hard was that question? Who has been to Ireland? So then he says, where are you from? Camel. He goes, Camel. Where you go? Mount Pilot for the weekend? He's just like ripping on Canfield. He goes, Canfield, really? He goes, now I know why you guys can't even answer questions. I could not stop laughing.
I just heard something about people from Campbell caught Camel.
When you Camel. Say these names to somebody that ain't from here,
yeah.
Campbell's like a big, where are you from? Howland? Really? Canfield? Sounds like Hillbilly Haven, but they don't know.
They should still have. I think that was a good twist in this area. The comedy club. Like there used to be Tickles.
And the Funny Farm was where I saw some really good. I saw Paul Reiser there. Really funny. And you got to be funny for me to laugh. I'm not just laughing at stuff.
I seen some on YouTube that I thought were really good. I didn't know who they
were. I'll tell you what, this Bill Burr.
Bill Burr's funny.
He has
that Boston accent.
My dad doesn't. I send my dad $1 million and complains about it. And bills should be $20. I mean, it isn't laughing. It's like Mr. Grouchy.
Right.
I go, Dad, take a look at this. He wrote back that couldn't stop laughing. I mean, it's that crazy because nobody's allowed to do that. Dice Clay was kind of doing that kind of bit. Then he went a little too far.
Right.
But this Burr gets away with it. I mean.
You ever hear he has a podcast? He does live from his house.
No, I mean, oh my God.
And his wife's back, and you can hear her in the back going, Bill, you need to go, listen, will you let me do my show?
Like, but he's like, vaccination, that's his way. Thin the herd, get rid of these weakling people, get them out of the way.
Yeah, that's the one that ain't censored him yet.
They have, but you know what's funny is his audience always has a bunch of black people in it laughing there. I mean,
crazy. Well, his wife.
And what it is, and people think like what I tease PC Torres, and I, when he comes and sits down and people don't know, I know him that well. I go, "Well, you're late. My back hurts." I won't stop picking melons. You won't worry about your back hurting. Stop stuffing yourself in the back of a truck. And everybody's going, "I don't believe you're saying that." Like my old boss was falling apart, like, because he's kind of limp. So I'm going, "Your back hurts because you're bending down, picking up melons." Like, "You got to start using your legs." And he's going along with it. And this Roger's like kicking me, like,
"Be quiet.
Yeah, there are too many drinks. What are you doing? I can't believe you're saying."
Right.
But you can't even laugh at that stuff anymore. No. You can't say anything. You're offending everybody. Well,
if you're one-on-one with your friend that who you've known and grown up with, that's one thing. But the people around you, you're like, "I can't believe you're saying that."
But it's so shocking.
It's the cancel culture.
Yeah. It's, drives me nuts. You can't even have a joke about it without, you know, they want to.
I mean, just everything, you know, with tearing statues down, our history, just this cancel culture thing, I think it's got me more disturbed than anything. It really does.
Yeah, it is, you know, liberals always accuse of exactly what they do. It's a pattern that never changes.
Yes, I've seen it.
So they get up every day, you know, mad. They're a victim. Somebody's got to pay. God shouldn't be hanging up on that wall. There's no more prayer. And those football players shouldn't be saying prayer. Every single day, that's their life.
Every day, yeah.
But then they're the love people. They love everybody. They don't love anybody.
No.
They love their agenda, and it's all hidden in this little code thing.
I don't even know when this cancel culture garbage
started. Well, here's what happened. A few people stood out in front of a thing, start bitching, and then we just fall apart. And we somehow we've let these little groups. And then the media blows everything up like, "You're the only idiot. All these people hate these Redskin football name."
Oh, yes. That's another thing.
So I guess, Garrett, let's just get online then. Okay, wait, the Vikings. There were some bad Vikings. I remember they pillaged play. So let's get rid of that.
They killed.
Cowboys? Wait, they fought the Indians. The thing was, let's get rid of the Cowboys too, while we're at it. No more Cowboys. We can go right down the list and the everything. Bears ain't
that little blonde guy over in Alaska.
Bears are mean and nasty. Let's get rid of the Bears. We'll call them the
Cubs.
Pansies. The Cubs. We'll call them the Pandas.
True. It's true. Just like they said, they took the Indian off Lando Lake's butter.
What the?
Man, that is the most.
I am part Indian, and I've never been offended by anything. I'm actually
in this country we need to worry about this garbage like that.
But why would you be offended? I'm really curious.
Again, take off.
What's wrong with calling somebody an Indian? Let's see. We have Indians. So what is offensive about the saying Indians? We hate them that bad? What's the offensive part of Cleveland Indians? You could get rid of the Chief Wahoo. He doesn't bang a drunk kill. Just call him the Cleveland Indians and make it the Cleveland Indians.
One of the players when they first started that team was Indian, and he was honored for them to call them.
That's what I mean. That doesn't make you feel good.
But they don't care.
Florida State Seminoles. That's just a tribe of
somebody Indian. Back in the corner was whimpering and pissed off.
And it's usually not the people of that color
No, you're right.
It's usually when most people are complaining about African American stuff. It's mostly these young white liberals that are doing it.
Yep.
It is not what you think it is. Nothing is what you think it is.
You know, I stand by this. This is the best country in this whole world, the United States of America, but
not anymore.
If especially us, our age group,
we
need to get a hold of it, or these younger generations come up. I'm not saying all, but they're coming up. They're going to ruin this country. It's going to be ruined. We're going to be a bunch of pansies. Our military is going to be garbage.
Our generation ruined it because we were going to do things different. Our parents worked at steel mills and that. They were tough on us. We didn't have anything. You got stuff for Christmas. You didn't get to walk in the store and get that. Give me that. You got nothing until Christmas or birthday. It was like a big major deal.
Right.
So what we do? We babied the kids. You know what? My dad came to games he could come to as a millwright at Copperwell. He ain't sitting at every practice and stuff. Bro, I'm not kidding you. I played eighth grade basketball. Nobody came to our games. They come to the practices now, line up, and make sure the kid doesn't get hurt. Oh, no. I got hit in the mouth. Hey, are you hurt? I said, yeah, you ought to be hurt. Catch the damn ball. Now, can you imagine yelling that? Ralph Clear yelled that out to me Ralph in a playoff game. There was a pickoff play. I'm playing short. I get behind the runner. Donnie Clear throws me a perfect ball. The guy slides in and I drop it. So then I'm going to pretend like I'm hurt to make this a better. So there's a million people there. This is a Lions. This is a big deal. And he yells, hey, Ty, did you get hurt? Yeah. You ought to be hurt. Catch that damn ball. Screams it in that voice of his. I can
hear him saying that.
Yeah. And did anybody go, oh, I can't believe he just said that?
No.
Yeah, my dad went over, don't you ever yell at my son.
I played Little League football, and my father was a coach, and I didn't have my cup on. And I got cracked, and I'm hurt in the middle of the field playing the Warren Little Browns, Atlantic Street, Lincoln Park. My dad come running over, what happened? I'm like, I got anything. He goes, you got your guns? Well, good, they should be up around your neck. I mean, right in front of everybody.
You didn't get
like, good thing I had a helmet on and a full face case because I was probably five shades of red. And I did get hit, though. But I got yelled at.
I got dropped off at the Warren AC as a 12-year-old white kid, and my dad drove away West Lawn. Get in there and learn how to box. That's how I drive away. I had Bill Bailey and
Terry Groover.
And we all went in there just, hey, your dad said you wanted to fight. And I mean, it was like, I can't even believe this, but okay, let's go. And you just did it. And I learned. And I'm glad my dad said it would be better for it. He dropped me off at the Little Panthers. I wasn't big enough for the Little Worn Panthers. I couldn't get past the helmet smelled. He says, I can't wear this. It was the worst experience. I mean, I
used to love
it. But you just can't. In those days, you couldn't go up. Dad, can I tell you something? Really kind of afraid of these guys. You're gonna get thrown out in the front. You just didn't even
know. You couldn't.
So-and-so's picking on me. Really? He grabbed me by the arm when my neighbor was like 5 years older than me, Kurt Morando. Sorry, Kurt, if you're watching. And I came home. What's the matter? Well, Kurt's putting, oh, he is. It's your ass. He grabbed me by the arm and we walked right back over there, and I had to deal with it. There was none of this. Well, I'm gonna go over and talk to his dad. Nobody did that crap.
Well, if I ever got in a fight, my dad would be like, well, did you win? I'm like, no, woman, you better get back.
Can you imagine if your dad did that? What the kids at school? Can you imagine? Guess what? Tom's dad called up and yelled at my dad. Pansy can't even. You wouldn't even have dared to have that happen.
No.
You'd have rather got your ass kicked 20 times.
You'd be on the skipping school list almost every day.
Your mom called and said to stop bullying him.
Knocked his books out of his hand.
I'd have never seen again.
No. And God forbid if you lay a hand on your kid. I got caught stealing a cap gun. I was 11 years old. Me and my buddy walked down to this little pharmacy. We're like, these are cool. They look like real guns. We got caught at home. My dad knew. Here, my buddy was shooting his around the house. His dad asked him where he got it. He said, oh, Gary got it for me. My dad asked me where I got mine. I said, oh, Kent got it for me. Gary Fairbanks' older brother. Oh, yeah? He goes, get in your room. I'll be right in. I heard that belt buckle come undone. He had a piece of paper. I kept trying to see what that paper said. He took that belt off, and he whipped me. And then I had to take the cap gun back to Drexel Park Pharmacy. And my dad told him, he will be here every day after school to pick this parking lot up if any trash for a week. After I got beat and I had my hands back there trying, yeah. I'm going to tell mom.
Make it worse.
He's like, your mom ain't going to save you. I mean, he really beat me. Like, and I never stole again. Never. I never even thought about walking into a store and taking anything.
But see, do you,
today, they'll file charges on you.
But you see, we are responsible for these pansies that are now 20 some years old. They can't do anything. Dude, can't go to work. Well, you know, this thing I'm doing now, Can't keep anybody. You know what? The guy didn't want me to be bought, didn't want me to be do the job of kick and tail, because he said they'll all quit for a guy like you, because they'll just quit. And you can't run up and go, come on, get your butt moving. They'll just walk out and leave. He goes, I can't have you doing that. He changed my entire job role because he watched me and went, oh no, he's going to be, no, yeah. He goes, you're not going to. He goes, see that guy right there? I go, yeah. He's stealing $500 a day from me. I can watch him on the cameras and I can't do anything about it.
Oh, why can't you?
Because there's nobody to work. It's that bad.
Wait a minute. Wait a second.
Exactly.
Get me an application.
I said, exactly. That's job title was that.
That's 2,500.
Extra 500. I was going like this.
2,500. Okay. I could fly back and port to work.
But I mean, he actually said that. He goes, I have to shut it down.
That's amazing.
For the week. He goes, I got to smile at him. Like, I go, well, there's no way I'm doing that. He goes, and that's why you're not doing it. So that role went from me just putting businesses in the Florida malls.
First of all,
and staying out of the operation.
It's hard to get people to work if you don't pay a decent wage nowadays, because everything keeps going up. The economy's going up. Everything's going up, and
footing the bills well into the 20s. That's the problem, Gary. I know what's going on. The kid don't have to work because dad's going to get him the right phone, and he doesn't want him to look bad if his kid don't have their car and this. So they don't work because they don't have to work yet. And then all of a sudden, it's going to hit the fan at whatever age that is now. Back then, it was 18. I could just see my, hey, Dad, you got the money for my insurance and my cell phone? I can't even that coming out of my mouth.
Oh, my gosh, no.
I was 18, and you want a car? Good. I'll help you get a car. I'll paint it. He'll do it. But I'm not paying for anything. No gas. Yeah,
didn't have that either.
Nothing.
My folks didn't have it.
Well, I mean, it just.
Didn't. I wanted to wear Nikes and Levi's because my friends wore it. They go, well, you better get a job.
Guess what?
So I wash dishes on the weekends at a Greek restaurant.
Or you're not getting them. Or like with my dad, went to Turney's and he got me the wrong color shoes.
We went to Miracle Mart.
And guess what? I had to stand there while they threw this stuff in the buggy. Yep, looks like I'm wearing that on Monday. Yep, looks like you didn't have any. I want that. Yeah, I didn't even have a choice. Yeah, okay. Just throwing the stuff. There's what you're wearing. You didn't go through there.
But I mean, all in all, and it's from our, you know, to back up our parents, that's what made us who we are.
That's we get the out way it was.
If we want something, we have to work and we go after it. And it's not like that.
And those are the reasons it's not. A, it's been too easy. They've had it, somebody handing them stuff way past 18 still.
But the wages too.
And the wages too.
They just have to.
They don't want to do anything though, because so-and-so's got a YouTube thing that's making money and somebody's doing, they don't want to actually go. I don't know what we're going to do with for carpenters, mechanics, and that in a few. Who's going to fix stuff? Nobody wants to do that. Who nobody wants to, you know,
probably ship that overseas next.
Well, too. I mean, you know what they're getting for people that are apprentices and that? Old people. No guy, 20-year-old wanting to be an electric apprentice. Nobody wants to do that.
That's good money. I do know a young man that's in school to be a lineman, electric lineman, which make big money. He was brought up from a family that were hustlers. They worked, man.
But it's too long hours. And, you know, the government said I shouldn't have to work all these. And if I got a kid, it shouldn't.
I get a 30-minute break after 4 hours.
I mean, it's just like, and that's the call. Gary, when I had to run in that call center, the guy goes, okay, stop. None of your people are going to lunch. I go, I'm not stopping. He goes, no, you're not going to lunch. And every time they walk by, you look at him like, where are you going? He goes, and you can't do that. This culture is different. You can't. He goes, all your people are sitting there hammering it away. They're not even taking breaks. You can't do it. He goes, I got to get rid of you before I get rid of them. That's how it was. Like, we had numbers to hit. Don't matter.
Why weren't they taking breaks?
Because I wasn't. And they were scared to go by my desk because I'd go, you got numbers to hit. I guess you're going, where do you think, where are you going? I'm not eating, but go ahead. And I would do that, and pretty soon they wouldn't even go. You just bring your own little something and just, and finally he's watching. I go, you can't do that. He goes, you have a way of taking people good and taking people bad. He goes, and this is not the way that works.
Yeah, because then they'll be like,
because they were from,
we don't even get a break at work.
They were from California, really liberal area. It was
West Coast.
It was like close to San Francisco. I mean, it's really liberal. Oh gosh, I can't remember, but I never even thought about it back then. And my way of doing stuff was, no way, you can't do that. You know, you're just some kind of dinosaur, like working extra. You can't do that. You can't expect them to.
And that's how it is.
And I had a couple people that were really good, but they were like alcoholics then. So I would drive them home to make sure they went home because I needed them so bad for the next day. And I'd call them. You can't do that. You can't call them off hours. That's called something about, you know, calling people after work. Gary, I got in big trouble for that, for trying to keep that guy so he'd go to work. I'm not kidding you.
That's crazy.
I got in trouble for that. I got in trouble for sending a message to my secretary at Gafaro, telling her what to expect the next day. She went, said something. I got this big deal. Telling people they had work to do after hours. That was like, no, HR was giving me like,
that's
can't
crazy.
Do that. That's work, making her work after hours.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how
we
crazy
have a problem. We're going to have a big problem.
Well, Gare, I think we kind of went past our time, but I could.
I know I got so much. I could,
I could go on and on and on, but you know what? When you get around, I like to have fun more than get really mad, because when we were driving here, if we did that show,
we'd still be.
Well, I was yelling. You were yelling. Then I got here and
I'm like, I don't know.
And making me laugh. So I don't know. But thanks for coming, Gare.
No problem, man.
And I think I think I'd like.
I like these little
vet and I sessions. Know that you don't like to get too far into it.
Well,
but I love that message you sent me today. I don't want to talk about Bob. Well, then you're just going to have to sit there and take it.
Well, I took it. No, because I listen, that's how I end up in Facebook jail all the time.
I know.
I get too involved.
But this is your way to get around that.
My wife even said, when have you ever been into politics? I said, 2016.
And I wish a lot of people would, because
that's when I started really paying attention to what's going on.
They wake up and it's too late.
So,
all right, Gary, it was a pleasure as always.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.
And then now.